This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. Happy St. Patrick's Day. As you may be able to discern from the quality of my voice, I am on the road. I am careening through Texas, New Boston, Texas. Jeffrey, are you familiar with New Boston, Texas?
Only in the sense of when you drive to Dallas, I always see that.
You've noted it before.
Yeah, it's one that stands out.
Yeah, well, New Boston. It's very different, I think, than Old Boston.
Most certainly.
But I doubt you have Ken in
New Boston.
Not known for the clam chowder.
Yep.
In New Boston. I bet you could get some somewhere, but maybe not. Anyway, I'm driving back from Fort Worth. Jeffrey is in the studio. This is sort of a throwback. I used to do this all the time back when I was covering the ball games more regularly. And so this is something we've done a bunch, and we'll hope for the best. I don't know how the reception's going to be through Texas and Arkansas. But that's where I will be. Hopefully you'll join us for the 2 hours. Because it can get a little dicey, I'm going to let Jeffrey talk to Chris Harrington. He may be on the road as well, actually, because I know that Chris was heading back to the Twin Cities. He's been here for an extended period, was there Saturday night for Tony Allen's extravaganza. But the Grizzlies have embarked on a 5-game road trip, so I think he's going back to see family. To be a dad and whatnot in the Twin Cities. So you may be catching Chris on the road as well. Don't know if he's headed back Sunday or Monday, but he's the only guest today. Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. Jeffrey will handle that. I'll be here for the rest of the show. It was a hell of a weekend. It really was a hell of a weekend. A remarkable sports weekend, and one that began, seems like forever ago, not particularly auspiciously, with the Memphis Grizzlies just getting pounded by the Cleveland Cavaliers. Do you recall that, Jeffrey, at the beginning of this weekend?
Yeah, but the good news is there was so much other basketball on, you could, like, just basically halfway through, you're like, all right, well, this is going a certain way.
Yeah, no, my son Ben was in town and for a wedding, and so he and friends went to that game, and it wasn't necessarily the best way to start the weekend, but my God, it was a hell of a weekend of college basketball, and a hell of a weekend for the Grizzlies as well, as they put on another Tony Allen, another number one into the rafters, this time Tony Allen's, and that was quite a show. So we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about the tournament generally. We may touch on the NFL, although probably not too much today. Of course, the big story is the tournament and the Memphis Tigers, and the Memphis Tigers getting another title and a 5 seed. Another title and a 5 seed. I don't think we saw this coming. I know I didn't. It was kind of an amazing weekend for the Tigers because they didn't play particularly well against Wichita State. And then that Tulane game, the end was unfolding just as the wedding began, Jeffrey. So have you ever been at an event where you are a solemn event, a joyous event, a funeral, a wedding, a graduation, something that would seem to demand your full attention, and yet there is a game unfolding simultaneously that you have the capacity to be watching on your telephone?
Oh, yeah. Come on. That was a free space for you.
This has happened for you?
Oh, yeah.
Weddings? Funerals? Yeah. Graduations?
Funerals is always one that feels a little like, all right, even I will admit that probably funerals is probably not.
You can't.
But like if it's a wedding and it's a big wedding, like you got to read the room. You kind of have to know, like, where am I sitting? Am I in the back? Like, you know.
So I was in the back, and beautiful wedding at the Woodruff Fontaine House. And literally, the ceremony begins at 4:30. It was at 4:28, maybe 4:25, when Memphis was up by one. Tulane put up the shot, and it was ruled goaltending. You recall this moment?
Yes.
You recall this?
So what was great was I had been kind of following along. We were doing some house stuff, so I was watching on my phone. And in Costco at the checkout, there was just like 15 people that just like pulled out of the line, like to not hold other people up, just watching on their phone.
It's under review. At this point, the wedding party is starting to assemble in the back, right? And you're wondering. So by the time we stood up, I felt so the bride could walk down the aisle. It may be the only time I've actually had my phone in my lap with the program over it, you know, lifting the program occasionally to take a peek. And the people in front of me in the row were like, what's happening now? We're all sort of just, there's a murmuring going up. Anyway, the beautiful thing is the Tigers win that one. The bride walks down the aisle. The couple get happily married, and the Tigers go on to win the tournament title as well. But that was not without its own real drama, and that, of course, came because Tyrese Hunter gets hurt against Tulane. And that was a hell of a blow. It was a hell of a blow. And I'll be honest, given the way they had played against Wichita State and against Tulane, and given the importance of Tyrese Hunter, and you got to say he's their third best player, right? He's their third most important player.
Yeah, I definitely think he's, at the minimum, he's the third most important player. But, you know, we can nitpick if you want to go quote-unquote best. But in terms of significant, I think he's clearly the third most significant player.
I mean, listen, last year, the Caleb Mills stuff, that became a story. Once Caleb Mills was gone, I'm never completely sure he was important. But Tyrese Hunter is critical to the cause. He is critical to the cause. He's not only their third, best, most important, whatever you want to say, player. And, of course, for parts of the season, when they did a lot of their heavy lifting, he was either their best or their second best player in Maui, right?
You know, sure, 100%.
So when they won the kinds of games that they're going to have to win going forward, he was sometimes their best player and sometimes their second best player. He was certainly their most deeply experienced tournament player. He is, you know, the proverbial glue guy. He is the ball handler. And then Dante Harris also out already as your backup point guard. So I think I can say this. You know how I am about my sports teams.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were going to lose. I 100% thought they were going to lose yesterday. I mean, I didn't think Brock Okoji could step in and do the job. And I thought that given UAB's incentives, you know, we talk about playing for their, you know, Memphis gets their best shot, et cetera. Well, here you have one team that has literally nothing to play for because the tip is so late that you know it's not going to impact their seeding. That is banged up, that has Dane Danger with the shoulder, that has lost one of their best players, and again, has literally no particular incentive to win except for winning beats the hell out of losing. And then you have another team that has already lost to you twice, that is, you know,
well, Jeff, as you've always said, it's so hard to beat the same team three times.
Yeah, yeah. That is out for not just redemption, but an NCAA tournament bid. I just didn't think it lined up particularly well for Memphis. And I thought that was fine. It was fine. They'd won the regular season tournament. And they'd already won under Penny a conference tournament. They were going to be seated where they were going to be seated. If they lost to UAB, it was fine. And they came out, and I swear to God, I have been incredibly impressed by this team from the moment they, you know, beat UConn, stunned everybody by beating two-time defending champion UConn, sending Danny Hurley.
First real shockwave of the season, not just for Tiger basketball, for college basketball.
Yeah. And sending Danny Hurley into a freaking temper tantrum.
Correct.
One of many that were to follow.
Announcing he'd never play another MTE again.
Right, exactly. What a brat. But I don't know if I've ever been more impressed with what they did yesterday. Because they just didn't have to mean that much to them. They were riddled with injury. Penny was literally asked the day before, you know, if this is time to pull back. I certainly saw that on Twitter. Shouldn't even have played the tournament, never have played the tournament, you know, whatever else. And to their immense credit, and I do think it's different, depending on the place where a particular program is at a moment, getting more conference tournament banners matters more, right? It may not matter to some teams, given where they are in their trajectory, to get another tournament championship. I think where Memphis is in their trajectory, trying to reestablish themselves as a dominant team to be wary of and respected, I think winning as much as you can win matters. And that's certainly how Penny coached it. It's certainly how the players played it. It was a coach comes out, and I swear to God, he comes out immediately, hits a corner three. Then he dishes to Nick Jourdain for a dunk. And I'm like, whoa, where'd this dude come from? I mean, I expected him to take charges, which he did. I didn't actually expect him to look as comfortable, or I guess for me to feel as comfortable watching him run the offense as I did. It wasn't seamless. It wasn't Tyrese Hunter. There's no question that's true. But it wasn't bad. It gives you... I mean, I literally yesterday was thinking they're cooked yesterday and they're probably cooked in the tournament. And I now have some faith in what they still have. And, of course, a lot of that faith is grounded in the fact that they have two ridiculously good players. And
yeah.
P.J. Haggerty, who we saw what he did against Wichita State, but again yesterday, after not doing that much in the first half, he just takes over. And he had that one where he just gets blown up on a foul, does the shimmy, the end one, the shimmy afterwards. Like, he was tremendous. Obviously, the most outstanding player for the tournament. But the most outstanding player yesterday was Dane Danger.
Absolutely.
Who is something else. I mean, that dude.
Possessed yesterday.
Possessed. Possessed. And so skilled. I mean, the proverbial dancing
run it,
dance.
Running the floor, baby.
He was twice he goes coast to coast. Twice he goes coast to coast. I mean, he was unstoppable. Unless you put him at the line, in which case he became highly stoppable. But he was otherwise unstoppable.
Did it surprise you a little bit they didn't try to get him to the line? Because, like, they had no... to me, like, that was my thing. Is like, they have no answer for him. Why not at least try to foul him and get him to the line?
100% do the academe.
Yeah.
And I do think that's something that you could be worried about going forward. Do the academe. They did not. At one point, Baraka was like, are you going to try to run something, whatever? And he just waved him off, said, give me the ball, got at the top of the key.
Yeah.
Spins, boom, in. You know, left hand, right hand, hooks. It's unbelievable how skilled that dude is around the... and then getting rebounds, 5 blocks, 4 assists. He was just remarkable yesterday. And just a huge difference maker. And that's a really important development since, you know, the start of the season. He was not that at the start of the season. When they were cruising through Maui, he was not that. He has become that, and he was tremendous. And then there were just other great scenes. Like, I don't go to these events all the time anymore, but it's just fun to be in there, to be there, and particularly when Memphis travels as well as they travel. There was discussion beforehand with the commissioner, Crenetti, talking about the finalists for the
tournament. Of course.
And it was Tampa. It was Wichita, it was UAB, and it was Memphis. Those are the finals. Now, interestingly enough, and this may hurt Memphis, I don't know, Memphis is put in for only the men's tournament, not the men's and women's tournament, and the other three have all put in for the men's and women's tournament, which may work to their advantage. But at Dickey's Arena, I took a picture, and it was not unrepresentative. I took a picture of the UAB fans, and as someone pointed out, they could have all fit in a single ride share. Like,
yeah.
There was a cluster of UAB fans. You know, maybe it would have had to been that University of Memphis party bus.
Yeah.
It would have had to have been the party bus.
Sprinter van.
They could have all fit in the Sprinter van. There's 20 of them. And then there's just... thousands of Memphis fans. It was a Memphis party there, and it was not close. And then the things that unfold during a game like this, you have the Tyrese Hunter. There he is, in a boot with crutches. And I'll just say it right now: I have very little hope that he is going to play this weekend. Would you not co-sign that?
Yeah, I mean, when it's a non-contact injury and then he goes down and he kind of gave it away when the look on his face, you know what I mean?
Yeah, crutches, boot, some people have asked why they haven't revealed what it is or the seriousness of it. They said they're doing the MRI today. But then beyond that, like, Duke reveals that Cooper Flagg is not badly hurt because the news is good, you know,
correct.
And they want the committee to know that Cooper Flagg is going to be playing in the tournament. Memphis does not reveal that Tyrese Hunter, again, this is my guess, but I'll be stunned, is not going to play because the news isn't good. And they probably don't have it confirmed completely anyway, but whatever. I will be very surprised. If he plays.
The MRI is there. The MRI is to confirm what they suspect is bad news.
That's right. And here's a guy who...
Same thing with Iowa State. Iowa State had bad news, and notice they did not reveal the bad news that their best player, Gilbert, would be out for the whole tournament
revealed it after the brackets were out. Right.
Yes.
That's when they revealed it. But here's a guy... You know, he just arrived in Memphis. This is his 1 year. People all the time disparage these mercenaries who go from school to school for the money and whatever else. And you look at the way Tyrese Hunter has been since he's arrived, a total gem. Like, he has been content to play second fiddle, or as far as we know, to P.J. Haggerty. He's been an ultimate team guy. He's been tough-minded. And yesterday, you know, faced with the, apparently, seems to be anyway, his season over, you know, there he is on crutches. He actually went out before the game when they were warming up with his crutches, was trying to shoot. And then during every single, you know, timeout, he'd hop out there, boot whatever, or swing himself with his crutches out there to pitch in, to just do what he can to encourage people. Penny was asked about him, and he said, well, we don't know what his future is in terms of the rest of the season, but we know he can lead us from the bench. Well, that's not a good sign.
Yeah.
That's not a good sign when that's your approach to all of this. So it doesn't feel good in terms of what's going to happen there, but it didn't matter. I was stunned. I do think it will matter going forward. I do think it is a blow to Memphis's chances to certainly go on a deep tournament run. They may feel it against Colorado State. We'll get to that in a little bit. But it was really impressive how they handled his absence. How did it look on TV?
Definitely looked like a Memphis party. Sounded like a Memphis party. I was like you. Before the game, I really thought all the makings were there. You know, UAB, they're going to be playing with their hair on fire, and Memphis has nothing to play for. They lose Hunter. And honestly, it wasn't until about the first 5 minutes, because Memphis was a little shaky. Like, it wasn't great basketball early, but when you could tell Memphis had the better, like, more intensity, I was like, oh, I think they're going to be fine. And then even though they fell behind at half, they quickly took control of the game in the second half, and it just, everything that UAB was trying to do felt just so hard. And if they couldn't shoot, which they weren't able to do yesterday, it was just going to be all Memphis.
Yeah. And so then you get to and then the way it works, you know, the game ends and they don't have time at that point to cut down the nets or have the presser or do anything. So we head on up to the conference room where folks assemble, and, you know, one region is revealed, and then the next, and then the next. And you're trying to figure it out. Like, I wanted to video the moment when they found out. And so anytime, you know, something in the range where they might fall was about to pop up, I'd bring out my phone and I'd start videoing. And we get all the way to the south, and there they are. And I think everyone was stunned. Including the players, the coaches, when they're revealed.
They're in the West.
I said the West. I'm sorry. Yeah, West. As the number five. Just incredible. And it was really interesting because you had the players and the coaches all whipping out their phones to capture this moment of taking a picture of the bracket to sort of verify to themselves that they, that Memphis was a five. If you look at all the experts, none of them basically. There's one guy out there who may have had him as a five, but basically nobody had him as a five. And they get the five. They're thrilled they get the five. They feel like they finally have won respect to have gotten the five. What did you make of not so much the draw where they've been sent yet, any of that, just what do you make of the fact that the committee made them a five?
Yeah, I had told you last week, I think Tiger fans were going to be pleasantly surprised. I kind of thought it was going to be more of the six, but when they got the five, to me it just signaled, hey, Memphis's profile was... Memphis's on-court profile is just what they were judged against. That's the reason they're a five seed.
Yeah, what's interesting about it was that and we've seen this, there are so many different data points that the committee can use, right?
Yep.
That they can kind of pick, you know? Like, if they wanted to use the predictive metrics, they could have justified Memphis as an 8, right? And I think, you know, what is, you know, the happy development here is that they used the actual results of actual games, you know?
Yep.
They used who won and who lost games when Memphis played really good teams. And that's what, in the end, carried the day. And I found that to be heartening. I think it's, you know, they've been in the top 25 all year long. Well, if you're in the top 20, the math suggests you should be a top 5 seed. And they were. And they are. And so good for them. Now, the interesting question is, that's great. You're a 5 seed. You are being sent to Seattle to play a Colorado State team that is red hot. Now, you have always been a Mountain West hater.
Yes, of course.
You do not respect the Mountain West. Would you rather have been a 6 seed or a 7 seed somewhere closer? Or would you rather be the 5 seed sent to Seattle?
You know, it's interesting. Like, if you're just talking about winning a game, like, I think I probably would rather have been flipped with Missouri and have to play Drake. But the other thing is, I would much rather play Maryland than play
in the second round. Yeah.
Than play Texas Tech, who I think's like a red hot 3 seed. So, you know, like, you can quibble about matchup or whatnot. One thing I know about this is that Memphis is going to be a little undervalued because the Mountain West just doesn't have the athleticism that Memphis does.
Yeah, I mean, but we know already that they have opened as an underdog, and we know that the Mountain West has. I mean, they have their own. Like, Nick Clifford is basically their PJ Haggerty. You know, he's a tremendous player.
Yeah, I think it's two of the top 10 scorers in the country.
Yeah, and so, but
there could also be some distractions for Colorado State. There's a lot of jobs Nico would like to have.
Going to Minnesota. Yeah. Everyone thinks their head coach is going to Minnesota, right?
Yes.
You think this is like Memphis losing to Missouri? Is that what it was? Memphis losing to Missouri, Cal's last game? I think that was it, right?
Yes, it was Missouri in the Sweet 16.
It was a Kentucky game. It was Kentucky looming as Memphis was playing Missouri. Yeah. I suppose that doesn't feel like it. Like, it doesn't feel like that's certainly a thing in football and bowl games after your coach leaves. Is it so much a thing in NCAA tournament that coaches who are rumored to be hot, it doesn't feel like that falls apart as much. But the truth of the matter is that everyone has to, you know, everyone who fills out a back bracket feels compelled to pick a 12 over a 5.
Yeah.
And the 12 over the 5 that will be picked in more brackets than any other bracket is Colorado State over Memphis. Don't you believe?
You could talk me into McNeese. That's kind of a cheeky one. McNeese is
just 'cause of Will Wade.
Will Wade, and that's also Clemson's his alma mater. And if Brad Brunell were to get another job, he would very much want the Clemson job. I think that one could be kind of popular. I'm trying to remember. In the other top half, let's see. I don't think San Diego over Michigan is going to be popular, and I don't think Liberty over Oregon is going to be popular. So I think it's fair to say that
San Diego over Michigan is ridiculous because there is no way in God's earth that Michigan should be a 5.
Well, I think what we saw is, and I've kind of been stumped.
Well, you've disappointed me. If the tournament matters at all, Michigan should not have been a 5.
Right, but right? I just.
And they said they took it into account, and they're lying.
But they also said they had the top nine seeds set on Friday night.
Right. Yeah, that struck me as one that was, I thought Michigan was underseeded. So yeah, I think most people. I think it's whatever. What's the line now? 2.5
Well, something so it was like 2.5 as of last night. Let me double check if it's moved. I saw some people saying 3.5 but I think it posted at 3.5 and quickly got bet down to 2.5
Yeah, it's a, you know, it feels like a coin flip game. I mean, I have to say, Dane Danger is such a monster. Who knows, the foul shooting come into play, you know, whatever. Maybe that was, you know, you got good games from a lot of the, you know.
Yeah, it's at 2.5 right now, Jeff.
So, but I was just really impressed. And I just think that this season has been, you know, incredibly important. If it goes, you know, it's been said over and over again for Penny Hardaway, for him to go back a year later to the place where they lost, you know, in front of, you know, disgrace. Everything blew up. And to come back having swept both championships and getting the 5 seed is one hell of a performance.
Hey,
by
Penny Hardaway's tournament win is a West Coast game against the Mountain West team.
His one tournament win is a yes. Yes.
It was Boise beating Boise in Portland.
Yeah. And the difference now is you don't have to play Gonzaga next.
Correct.
You know, with Chet Holmgren. Right? That's the advantage really of the 5 seed isn't even so much this first game, it's the second game. If you can win this first game, you then face a winnable, and presumably it'll be Maryland, but who knows? But you then face a winnable second game, as opposed to a game where you're, you know, David and their Goliath, and you need to, you know, place the rock perfectly in the midst of their forehead, in their perfect spot in their forehead, in order to foul them. That's the big difference. Okay, the other thing that happened, by the way, is over the weekend, and I felt sick that I couldn't be there, but I had a wedding Saturday, and then I had to get in my trusty minivan and drive halfway to Dallas so I could then get to the game by the tip, was I missed the Tony Allen member retirement ceremony. By all accounts, it was a party. I would urge anyone who missed it or who just wants to relive it to read Chris Harrington's column at the Daily Memphian, which captured it absolutely beautifully. So you watched it on TV.
I did.
How was the party?
It was a great party. I did not, maybe I should have known more, but I did not expect to see Paul Pierce there, but I thought Paul Pierce was great. It was cool to see Tony at the end go through basically everybody that was up on the stage and kind of salute what they had meant to his career and whatnot. Like, it was just, I don't know, it was just it's great to just kind of revel in that time because, you know, I know maybe some of the rest of the NBA looks at that, like the Grizzlies, they got to one Western Conference final, didn't even win a game, and like this team celebrates. It was like, yeah, you got to understand, it was really important to us, and it was nice to see everybody that was there and kind of hat tip everyone that had a role in Tony Allen's career.
Chris Harrington, we'll talk to him straight up at 10 o'clock. He'll talk more about that. Grizzlies also embarked now on a 5-game road trip. We'll talk about that in just a second. But, yeah, it's obviously Mike couldn't make it, but Mark was there and Zeebo was there. And then you just look up and, you know, Quincy Pondexter was there. And Ed Davis, of all people,
yeah,
you know,
Beno Udrih
was there. And Benno was there. And, like, and then Rudy, I just have so much respect for Rudy because he's always there, even though he's the one who's left out. Like, you know, Benno's number's not going up either, but Benno was never Rudy. Rudy was supposed to be, at one point, the franchise player for this franchise. And he comes back and is a part of these celebrations every single time. And then they each take on the character, you know, of the person being honored. For Zeebo, he was sitting in a chair that felt like a throne.
Yep.
You know, it was the first and maybe the greatest going in. And then for Mark, he just was all about the four, you know, and as you would have expected. I mean, there was the sort of homegrown flavor of it, too, because of his time in Lausanne. But for Mark, it was all about the four and about, you know, Mike, was there for that one. And then Tony, it's this kind of crazy, kind of unleashed, totally lovable. I gather it was quite profane, Jeffrey.
Yes, they did not even bother with the dump button.
I don't know how you would have done it. Simulcast on Channel 5. This is one of the games that appears on Channel 5, and Tony winds up and goes for 20, 25 minutes, and he's dropping F-bombs and MF-bombs and everything else. And were you startled? Like, how are you supposed to handle that if you're Channel 5?
I mean, there's like the one point where you're like, man, I'm glad my daughter's asleep, and like, you don't have to like worry about all this. Obviously, it didn't bother me.
Who really cares at this point? We have cable TV, you know. We have, people talk the way they talk. Tony talks the way he talks. But it sounds like it was an outpouring of love. Again,
I did feel for everyone at WMC that's probably going to get an FCC fine today.
Yeah. So, here's what we're going to do. We have much more to talk about. We can talk more about the tournament, about seedings, about North Carolina, about all of that. Which we will do when we return. Chris Harrington's going to be up straight up at 10 o'clock. My old partner, George Lapidus, used to do this thing on Mondays where he'd say, if you were there, I want to hear from people who were there. And so let's try to take calls. It may be too dicey because I'm on the road. It's a little whatever, but I do want to give people a chance to celebrate. Certainly, if you were either in Fort Worth or in the FedEx Forum Saturday, to call in and give us a sense of what you experienced. But beyond that, if you have anything to say about either Tony or about this Memphis Tigers season, we'd be happy to take that as well. Tell them the phone number, Jeffrey.
Jeff, 901-445-0929, 445-0929.
445-0929, 445-0929. We'll take your calls on all of this when we return. And then again, Chris will join us straight up at 10 o'clock. We've got a busy show today. Before then, I will tell you, it's funny, I was going to the wedding and getting dressed at my house, and a friend of Ben's was over Burke, and I walked downstairs. He says, "Nice sport coat, Mr. Calkins." That's the kind of thing that happens now. That's the kind of thing that happens to me now. Literally, a 27-year-old dude will say, "Nice sport coat, sharp sport coat, Mr. Calkins." Why? I told him. I said, "Yeah, well, I now shop at Oak Hall. Spring has sprung. It's not technically, but it is St. Patrick's Day." So they're loaded over there at Oak Hall. It's spring break. It's time for swimwear. Time to get a new spring sport coat. Time to spruce up your spring and summer collection as you get ready for all the fun that is to come. No better time than to get in there and see your friends at Oak Hall. Same folks who helped you through Christmas, and now they're there for spring. So if you want to get compliments, it is true. The nice thing is that for every compliment I get, I know a lot of people are out there just think of the same thing without saying anything. Nice sport coat, Mr. Calkins. All possible because of our friends at Oak Hall. We're going to take a break. Talk to you when we return. Jeff Calkins, Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back at the Jeff Calkins Show. Phone number is 445-0929, 445-0929. Taking your calls on Tony Gallen's celebration and the Memphis Tigers' big weekend in Fort Worth. If you were there, that would be great. We'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. But honestly, if you were watching from afar, we'd love to hear from you too. 445-0929, 445-0929. Jeffrey, who do we got?
Jeff, we start with our friend Dennis in Whitehaven. Dennis, you're on.
Dennis.
Hey, good morning, Jeff and Jeffrey.
How are you?
Hey, look, I just, I hate I didn't go because I was telling my wife we're going to go to this first round of the NCAA tournament, and I'd be damned if they didn't put them far as they could put them. So I'm not going
to. Where would you have gone? Would you have gone to Cleveland, Raleigh? Lexington,
all of those,
right?
All of those I would have went to, man. But you can't drive Seattle fan, but I'm not going to do it. And the other thing I just want to say, man, I'm with Jeffrey. I think we can beat Maryland. You know, let's get past Colorado State first, but I think we can beat Maryland. I think we can go to the Sweet 16. Go Tigers.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it, Dennis. 445-0929-445-0929. Again, if you want to get in on this, talk about Tony Allen night or the Memphis Tigers and their conference title and now what lies ahead. 445-0929. Jeffrey?
Jeff, we go to Melvin in East Memphis. Melvin, you're on.
Good morning, Gary.
Hey, Melvin.
Yeah, yeah, I don't. Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed the tournament. Man, you know, the first two games were kind of shaky. But then, you know, with the injury, everybody was thinking, like, man, is it about resting and not? Because all the guys, like, people that, when they were on television, like, most of them were banged up. He was most of them were banged up. So I was kind of scared about that. I mean, he got shot by the five seed. Like, you were saying, I was like, man, I wanted which. I thought we were going to get Missouri spot. But like you're saying, the second round matchup would have been kind of hard against Texas Tech. You know, we got to get the first win first. So I just hate that that's too far for the fans to kind of go to. But it was fun and all. And I mean, I couldn't believe the NCAA did what we thought they wouldn't do. So all they were worrying about the next, so everything ended up playing out good for us.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it. Who's next, Jeffy?
Jeff, we go to Chris in East Memphis. Chris, you're on.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, Chris.
I was in the building Saturday night for the retirement ceremony, and
how was it?
It was amazing.
Did you go to the others as well, or is this the first retirement ceremony you've been to?
This is actually the first one that I was able to make it to, and. Uh-huh. I honestly think that it probably would have been my favorite, not having even been at the other ones, but just knowing just what Tony Allen means to the city, and I was going to make sure I was there.
Packed, emotional, how would you describe it?
Oh, it was packed, and everybody was just so happy and showing love, and the stories by all the players that he played with were great, and It was just really special.
All right. Thanks very much. Yeah, we'll wrap it up. We'll wrap it up. We have a million things to get to. We made it's a little awkward when I'm on the road. Chris Herndon is going to join the show straight up at 10 o'clock. If Jeffrey, we talked about this earlier, like, Seattle's a nice city, but it's a total pain in the ass to get to. And it absolutely robs Memphis fans who do travel of the chance to get in their car and go there. Penny, during his presser, he sat down and he talked about it. He said, yeah, we have to leave now. And he was joking, but that's kind of how it feels. Like, it is so far away. And then it's midday. The game's honestly midday, Friday. You feel like you have to leave now. Did they get screwed by being sent to Seattle? Is that just the breaks of the game? How do you feel about the Seattle part of this?
Yeah, I mean, did you want the five seed or did you, like...
That's the thing.
Like,
you get the easier second. You know, nothing's easy.
Well, and it's one of those years where we don't really have West Coast teams that are highly up there. So what happens is, because the best teams, like the teams that can pick their pods, they're all going to want to go pick something, you know, much closer to, you know, the middle of America or the East Coast. And so that left Seattle as a bunch of spots, you know, for a bunch of spots that everyone else would kind of go to. So, like, it's just kind of the breaks. But, you know, it's not like it's close for Maryland.
But no, it is not close for Maryland. It is closer for obviously Colorado State. But
I mean, it is, but I think that's the other thing people – don't realize about the West Coast. It's not like it's a hop, skip, and a jump from
No. So people say that about the South too. Like my siblings up north think that I live right next to Raleigh.
Right.
You know?
It's like, and yeah, no, so, that's a 13, 11, like sort of 12-hour drive. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Now the region is absolutely loaded with.
The West region rocks.
It is absolutely loaded. You have, if you just look at the coaching pedigrees there, you've got Patino, you've got Self, you've got Calipari, and you've got Hurley. like just by the way, just off the top. And then you've got maybe then a team that is playing as well as anyone else in college basketball in Florida. Like, it is a loaded, absolutely loaded region. So is that fun? Is that how is one to look at that?
I mean, it's storylines galore. For the sports writers out there, that bottom part is about as good as it gets. I mean, I just think that it's fun because you can kind of imagine this going a bunch of different ways. I mean, you know, which team's playing better right now, Florida or St. John's?
Yeah, it's interesting. A lot of people, in one breath, they say that Florida is the team you want no part of right now. And yet, who did they get? They got the two seed that really is playing as well as any other two seed in the country. So, you know, that's a ridiculous. That's right. I don't know. I've heard a lot of people picking St. John's, even as they acknowledge that Florida is a wagon. And you know, one of the things that I think most people agree on, and we'll talk more about the bracket generally in the second hour, but the separation between the ones and the twos generally, like, everyone knew who the one seeds were going to be. There was no debate about who the number one seeds was going to be. I suppose you could argue, you could make an argument for Duke as the overall number one over Auburn, but not if you base it on body of work for the whole season.
Yeah, it was one of those ones where it's like, do I think Duke is better than Auburn right now? I mean,
right now, yeah, but it's not about right now.
Yeah,
you know,
it's like Auburn's resume is so overwhelming that, like, they were going to be the number one overall seed, and then I don't think it helped that you have the issue about Flag's status.
Right. So you got Auburn one, and then you've got, I mean, those four, Auburn, Duke, Florida, Houston, are very clearly the best teams in the country. And it's only happened once before that all four get to the Final Four, but I can see it, you know.
That's the biggest question to me. Is this going to be a chalky tournament? Because it would kind of make sense in the era where, you know, who pays for the roster the most, that's going to be the teams that end up being the best. And what we saw kind of throughout conference play and conference tournament play was, like, there's a clear separation between the good teams and everybody else.
Yeah. One of the interesting things, I was on Deadline yesterday, typing away at Dickie's Arena, and my old sports editor, Gary Robinson, he texted me and said, so, Higgins is going where? Stukenborgs is going where? Like, he started rattling off the old CA sports department, because once upon a time, and this was not too long ago, I moved to Memphis in 96, and for about 10 years, this would have been the case. We traveled with Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Vanderbilt, Tennessee, Memphis, and Arkansas. And they are all in. I mean, it is, we used to do our what do they call them, the Sakusa rankings? Is that what we call them?
The TAMS, right?
The TAMS rankings. So
Tennessee.
The TAMS rankings. Who did the Sakusa? Someone who did another show did the Sakusa ranking. Oh, does Rob Fisher does the Sakusa rankings, I think. This is what he called the Sakusa rankings, SEC Conference USA, back when there was a Conference USA. We call them the TAMS rankings.
Did you see the Conference USA title game got delayed, had a rain delay?
Oh, God forbid. Leakage?
Leakage from the roof. They took it. So it used to be one of my favorite conference tournaments because they'd play at the practice facility for the Cowboys out in Frisco, and they had split courts, and I loved it. Like, it was the most, this is what you get for moving out of that. They took it to Huntsville.
Well, we did have storms. My God.
We did have storms.
That happened over the weekends. We had some freaking ridiculous storms. But it is quite the accomplishment, obviously. So, hat tip to Tennessee, hat tip to Ole Miss, hat tip to Mississippi State, hat tip to Vanderbilt, hat tip to Arkansas. And obviously a hat tip to Memphis. Let's do an impromptu TAMS rankings, Jeffrey. Go ahead. Give us your TAMS rankings of those basketball teams.
All right. I'm putting Tennessee 1,
you gotta.
Memphis 2.
I mean, if you just go by seeding, right? You've got 1-2 seed and 1-5 seed, right? I think those are the, yeah. Now you got a couple of sixes, right?
So we've got Ole Miss is a six. We've got, are we ranking Missouri?
Oh, the boot heel.
Yeah.
No, they're not a typical TAM.
Okay. So I think then you go Ole Miss, because I think they're only six. Then go Mississippi State, but you have the weird reality where Ole Miss had a better season, but Mississippi State beat them twice.
Right. Yeah, I don't know what you do with that.
Then I'll go Mississippi State, Arkansas, Vandy.
Yeah, Vandy tailed off there at the end, but good for them as well. It has been quite the basketball season, and now there is and now we got all the fun that is to come. We got Chris Harrington straight up.
Oh, we forgot Brad writes in. We forgot Lipscomb. Shout out to the other Church of Christ school.
They are not a TAM. I'm sorry, they're not a TAM. They've never been a TAM. But yes, Lipscomb as well. We're going to take a break. Chris Harrington straight up 10 o'clock. He was there Saturday in the building as well. Again, I would recommend to anyone that you read that piece by Chris summing up what Saturday night was like. The Grizzlies are on the road. Ja is out, this time with a hamstring. Grizzlies play Sacramento. Ja out with a hamstring. Asante doubtful. We talked about the Tony stuff, and we'll ask Chris about the state of the Grizzlies. How are you feeling about it right now? They are in a three-way tie for second, and just a game up on the Lakers. How do you feel about your Grizz?
Can you ask me after the road trip? Because I was telling Tim this. The other thing that is fascinating to me is that I think the only sport that has a portion of the calendar where the pro takes a back seat to college is come tournament time. Because I just feel like now – it's like I've been watching the Grizzlies all weekend, but it's like I have no idea what else happened throughout the rest of the league.
Right.
And so, you know, they still have yet to win a game in California, but like they have winnable games here. I don't know. Like I still.
Well, honestly, what's interesting is over the health stuff. This time it's a hamstring. It was missed Saturday because of the shoulder, and they did just fine without him. Against the what was interesting is that when we saw. And again, it's a little like the one seeds in the NBA tournament. There is a clear chalk in the NBA this year,
yes.
Right? And Cleveland is the chalk, is part of that chalk. And so you don't necessarily expect to be the Cavs. But they were handled. They were just handled.
Yeah,
by the Cavs.
It was not competitive.
And then they handled Miami. And sort of that's a version of what we've seen this year. But what was interesting to me is, again, I'd ask Chris about the TA stuff and everything else and the injuries and whatnot. He wrote a reasonably pointed column over the weekend, and I think his phrase was, I don't have it in front of me, was a gap in seriousness.
Yes.
In two different ways. It was a gap of seriousness in terms of how they deployed their players. Like, at one point, it's competitive. Cleveland sits down Jared Allen. Grizzlies leave in Zach Edey, and he just gets lit up. And someone evidently asked Taylor Jenkins about it afterwards, and he said, well, we wanted to bully them, right? But his response to getting lit up was immediately to sit down. So finally took time out and said, Zach Edey, right? Like, and so... that's one sort of gap in seriousness. And we've seen it all year long, right?
Yeah.
Are they trying to develop players or are they trying to win freaking games, you know? But then the other gap of seriousness was at the trade deadline. One team said, we are in a position to win a title. We're going to go try to win a title by getting better. And one team said, we're going to offload some salary. And so it was not, he didn't rip them, but he did point out what he called this gap in seriousness between the two teams. Now, you can argue that it's a gap in just, like, it's a recognition of reality between the two teams. Like, you act differently at the trade line because you properly assess where your team actually is at that moment. Maybe it's grounded in reality, or maybe it's, I don't know. I'll be listening for this next segment, and then I'll rejoin y'all after that for the second hour as I careen through. Now, it was earlier Texas, now it is Arkansas. Before then, I will tell you that if you're selling your house, you should call Josh Heisa. You know that by now. Josh Heisa and his team at Keller Williams Realty, 461-8147, 461-8147. Spring is a perfect time to be selling your house. But even then, I do see people with their for sale signs just hanging out on their lawn, hanging out on their lawn, hanging out on their lawn. And I want to tell him, call Josh Heisa, 461-8147, 461-8147. He knows how to market your house. He knows how to get the best quota price for your house. He also, by the way, will give you a cash offer for your house. And it's not one of these lowball, you know, we're going to try to screw you out of your house, take advantage of you offers, and get up to 4 months to move. So it's incredibly convenient if that's the way you want to go. It is Josh Heisa and the team at Keller Williams Realty, 461-8147, or joshhasthebuyers.com. Chris Herndon joins us, sir. When we return, Jeff Dawkins Show on a Monday, 92.9 FM ESPN.